Mudball. Look at that.
Gosh, Mudball.
Mudball. Mudball. Again.
Mudball Monday, baby. We're back.
Mudball. How's it going?
Good. All is well. Always well here on Mudball Monday. Excited to talk, but glad to be back on the horn. It's been a few days remote once again. It has been Pacific to East Coast time zone for the most part. We are out in Chicago this week, Cardinal Golf. So central to Eastern, so not quite as bad. But doesn't mean we're skipping Mudball Monday. Absolutely not. So we're going to talk a little cold weather golf. Not exactly my favorite thing ever, but I have a lot of passion for it. So, Mr. Simon, start us off. Cold weather golf, just first thing that comes to mind, first few things.
Well, first off, happy Monday, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to the tie. Welcome to Mudball Monday. Across every time zone. We're excited to be talking about cold weather golf. And it's kind of a topic that makes me a little nervous because especially here in the Southeast, we love the 2 week fall that turns really quickly into winter. And you're up in Chicago right now. I'm curious if you've pulled out a quarter zip or a little anything heavier than that yet.
Wore a vest this morning, but we have gotten it. It'll come out very quickly, but I'll just go ahead and throw it on the record. I am not a fan of cold weather golf. I'm way too old for that. So we have gotten extremely lucky in that in the morning, it's like 62, but it's been like mid 80s during the day. However, I was looking at the weather this afternoon and I think starting like literally 2 days from now, highs of like 65 and like 47 overnight. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, we got so lucky. So yeah, the cold weather golf is coming. A pressing conversation here that a lot of people are either already experiencing it or getting ready to.
Yeah. A large majority of our nation just gets axed for golf weather for, you know, the majority of the winter months. And that's a sad thing, but it somehow makes spring golf a little bit better. But I think where we're getting to and what will be the crux of this pod is that winter golf sucks. And we'll talk a little bit about why it sucks and how it sucks. And I think there are also some benefits and some great things that winter golf tells us that we can explore as well. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, you know, I want to draw a parallel, actually. Just hearing you talk about how winter golf sucks and, you know, for everyone who's deep in the Mudball Monday grind, I guess maybe, no, this was the Mudball Monday. We talked about the FOS and, winter golf, like the FOS, like it just sucks. You know, it sucks. I don't know how else to put it. We don't need to necessarily define it other than just say like, it does suck, you know,
lots of mud balls, by the way.
Oh yeah. So many mud balls in the winter. You know, I've like come up with this new term. I don't know if other people have used it before me, but if not, I'm throwing the patent on this one, Harry Potter golf, which is winter golf. You're just out there waving a goddamn wand at the ball, hoping that some magic will happen. Like there is no, and we're going to kind of consider this the beginning here. There is no covering the golf ball, right?
Lots of guiding.
We play to cover the golf ball. Like that is the feeling that you chase is the 4-iron into a long par 4 or a par 5. And you get up on top of that thing, you cover it, nice high draw. But by the way, that's only if it's warm. If we're in the winter and we're playing cold weather golf, no covering. It is Harry Potter golf, shoving from underneath, just waving your wand at the ball, hoping that it doesn't go 50 yards right, or you like flip it over the hands and snap hook it. It's dismal. So that is my high level thought on cold weather golf is that it's just it's just different, man. Like it's a different game. You know, you're seeing and thinking about shots in a very different way. You're not thinking about trying to pull a long iron and aim 15 yards right and hit a high draw. You're aiming a little bit left and just kind of like shoving it in there. You know, that's just how it is.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about cold weather golf is that it reminds us, you know, golfers love to talk about how hard golf is. And I think we do this for a variety of reasons, but I think why golfers like talking about how hard golf is because we're not just doing it to, I don't know, just talk, but I think it gives a little bit of contrast to like when there's a good day, you play well, you overcome something. I think when the natural elements, Mother Nature is really hard, it shows us how hard golf can be. You're out at Bandon or you're in the Scottish links and you have the wind just eating your ball alive, and you can get into so many different scenarios where Mother Nature just shows you how difficult it can be to have some control out there. And then you go out on a nice day and overcome that. It feels really good. Still the same game, but it's not really the cold, the wet, or the wind really that gets me. And those things independently, I think we've all had great rounds where it was maybe just cold or maybe just a little bit wet, or maybe just windy, that were pretty enjoyable in different ways. But I think it's the certain combination of the wet and the wind and the cold and kind of the sick, you know, randomness that Mother Nature has, that she inflicts upon you at random times, you know, that's when golf gets bad. But I think that's so beautiful too, because I think it reminds you that though we can be very mechanical and try to understand as much as we can about this game, it's still an outside game. You know, you can still get smacked in the face even when you didn't deserve it. And I think cold weather golf reminds us of that, which is pretty cool.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, it is part of playing the game. It's part of appreciating all the difficulty that's presented. You know, difficulty comes in different ways, and the cold happens to present many different sorts of difficulties, in that it's usually going to be a little wet, probably going to be a little bit windy. You know, but I think there are different things about it as well, such that maybe you don't play so far back, you know, and you just appreciate it for what it is. Like, why would you go play 7,500 yards? Or if you're, you know, if you're playing the middle tees or whatever it is, why would you go play 6,200 yards if that's like really long for you? Like, bump it up. And this is going to pivot us in a little bit different direction, but this is something I've always thought about and haven't talked to a lot of people about before. So you think about the shafts that you use. Like, you get fit almost always in 75, 80, 85 degree weather. Like, no one's getting fit in the winter. It's very rare, at least. And so the way that I'm able to move the club when it's 85 or 90 degrees out and my body is loose and fluid and I'm really able to swing at it, like, you know, just to talk about myself specifically, to provide an example, I swing my driver, if it's 85 degrees out, up near 120, you know, something right in there. When it's 47,
bombs.
When it's 47 degrees out, like, I'm swinging at 110. If not a little bit less. And that might be excessive. Maybe it's 112 or something, but it's slower and the shaft is not flexing as much. And so I feel like we've gotten so granular on golf and so technical on how to play the game better, yet we often will play in 40 to 50 degree differences in temperatures, which once again, like, that presents all sorts of complexities, in that your body's tighter, you're just not rotating as well, you have more clothes on. So why do we not change our equipment at all based on the cold? Like, I always think about that if it's really warm out, I use like a little bit stiffer than an X, I guess. Like a Project X 6.0 is an X, a 6.5 is a little bit stronger. And if it's 85 degrees out, I'm flexing the shaft. I'm hitting four irons way up in the air. Like, it's not too much shaft for me by any means. But like if it's 45 degrees out, I feel like I have too much shaft. And that, I don't know. It sounds crazy to have like a cold weather set of clubs and a warm weather set of clubs, but it's not that crazy.
No, it's definitely not. If you think about how at the highest level, how people dial whatever they can control to go out and try to be the best at, you know, on the first tee to the 18th green, it seems logical, but I don't know. I think the other thing is that most of the PGA Tour plays in relatively good weather.
Yes.
The majority of the year. And it's not like they're going to purposely schedule tournaments during shitty weather and bad locations, but I think there's a little bit of that in there, but it would be cool to see. I mean, I've never taken out, you know, the old driver in the garage with the regular shaft. And I'm not saying you need to go that far. It's probably somewhere a little bit closer, but it would be cool to see maybe a different ball. Who knows?
Like where I really think about it sometimes, not so much personally, is certain years of the British Open. It's in the middle of the summer. Those guys have been playing in the States where it's super hot. I mean, you might be pushing 100, and then all of a sudden you go over. Like think about Port Rush a couple of years ago when it was properly cold that week, like sub 50, cold, windy, wet. And are they really swinging the exact same sticks? Because there is such a massive difference between, I don't know what's the week before, but let's just make the assumption that they were somewhere in the middle of the country and it was 95 degrees and humid. And then you go over there all of a sudden and it's 48. You have four layers on rather than one. It's windy. Like that is just a different way that the shaft is flexing, the body is moving. And to think that they're using the exact same clubs, I don't quite buy it. I don't know. It's just it's a really interesting thing to me that has never really been discussed before.
I want to hear your take on this because you're the most qualified to answer it. So people talk about, obviously, Ricky is a really great weather player.
Mm-hmm.
And though he's struggled over the past couple of years, I think let's take Ricky and look at him for a second. But where I'm trying to go with this is it's like, golf course architecture, competitive play has been going in some sort of direction for a number of years. At least it seemed that way to me, where we're more data driven and we're very focused on players that execute their shots as close as they can to their intent over the course of 72 holes. The goal is to reward that player as the champion as close as we can get to that versus the golf where a bit more luck is involved due to either being on opposite sides of the opposite sides of the draw, either being morning or afternoon. Like you talked about the US Amateur at Bandon, how given like Bandon's a great golf course. Everything. But the draw is everything. It essentially knocks out half the field. And so though that's a really great golf course and a really great test, is it the best golf tournament given that half the field was essentially at a huge disadvantage? I don't know. But when we start talking about weather, when you add in cold and wind and rain, these are all added inputs that the golfer now has to compete with. And to me, it would be kind of wild to see a golf tournament that was intentionally scheduled during crappy weather in order to see who the most resilient player was through all of that. Isn't there merit to that in competition?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so I think about a tournament I played this past year, the Jones Cup, that is known to have really bad weather. And you almost always, it's in Sea Island, right on the coast of Georgia. Beginning of February, like it's just the writing's on the wall. It's going to be bad weather. And of course, when there's smoke, there's fire. Like the weather always turns out worse than it should be. So this past year, the first day was like, it was fairly benign, like mid 50s, wind for sure, but nothing crazy. And then the second day we got just the full silly, like sub 45, super windy, dumping rain the whole day. I mean, not the whole day, but like it rained pretty heavily. And one of my buddies was down there who is English, and he walked off the course, and I played pretty well that day too. I'd like to think I actually am, despite not being a fan of it. I actually think I am pretty decent in the conditions. And he walked off saying, like, I just don't really get it. Like, I just don't find it to be that hard. And so kind of my response to that with regard to like Ricky and people that have more comfort, like, okay, an Englishman obviously has more experience in it, but what experience gives you is the knowledge of how to do it. And I know that we started with Harry Potter golf as a joke, but like recognizing that you're playing Harry Potter golf is the reason that other people are better at it than some. If you're still out there at like, if you've got 200 in and you're into the wind and you've got three layers on and it's cold, and you're going to say like, yeah, I'm just going to hit this high draw four iron. Like, no, you're not. It's not going to work. That is not a sustainable business model. Like the way you have to play that shot is like, you got to take a three iron or something, take extra club, peg it in the back of your stance a little bit, aim a little bit left, shut it down and hit like a punch cut. Just don't let the wind hit it too hard. Keep it under the wind, know how the ball is going to curve. And then you're giving yourself a chance. But as soon as you think you're going to like throw it up in the air and turn a ball into the wind and hit some valiant golf shot, you've already lost. Same thing with the driver. Like if you're just going to like tee it high and rip it, you got no chance. And so that's what it is to me. It's like the guys that look comfortable and play better, it's because they understand it is a different sort of game you're bringing that day. And the ball is going significantly shorter. And so you don't see them coming up short right or short left or whatever it is all day. They just know that it's different shots that you're trying to hit, and they're able to execute them.
Yeah. We could do an entire podcast on weather golf, just talking to some of the web.com guys who played in that one particular event down in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool thing to do. Because that tournament, the carnage, and it seems to be at year over year, there seem to be problems there, but it's kind of fun to watch. So,
you know, we've been talking about it this week. So I'm in Olympia Fields this week. So you mentioned having a tournament to expose players a little bit, see who is right. Who is really the best at playing in the conditions. So I'm at Olympia Fields this week. They hosted the BMW last year, and it was really difficult. Like four under one, there were like four players under par. Like, and this is just there are things about the course that could be better, but it is one of the true great competitive courses in the States. Like in terms of just testing every part of your game, it is aggressively fair. Like if you're hitting good shots, making putts, hitting good tee balls, playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, you can play well. But if any of those things falter, you will be making bogeys, and it is that cut and dry. So I'll leave it at that, really. A few too many trees, we may say that. But anyway,
I'm gonna stop you right there. I don't think most people understand, because I was looking at the leaderboard today, and I don't know, there what, eight players under par? Does that sound right? Something to the tune of
fewer. Yeah. It's fewer. It's like three or four, five.
And I'm looking down this list of names, and even though I'm a little bit out of the world, it's like I recognize most of them. It's like these guys are good. Like they're really good. And if these guys came to your golf club or your neighborhood course or whatever, they'd just eat it alive. And what I think is so interesting about Olympia Fields, I haven't been there, is that it is, as you said, like very ordinary, very simple looking. The architecture is pretty base level, but the nuances of the golf course seem to be, it's just classic kind of Northeast real deal golf on a yeah. big scale.
Yeah. And you know, there's the thing that I like about it is there are no tricks. Like, it's not overly nuanced. And it's not like, it's not just like smash mouth golf every single hole necessarily. Like, yes, it's long. Yes, the rough is pretty long, but like,
it's slow burn difficulty.
If you hit it in a bunker, like, you might, if you really run up in the face, you might have to pitch one out, but usually you can like take a cut at the green and you don't have that many putts that you're like, wow, this is like absurdly fast. It's just so many holes that, and not even all of them are that long, but there are a lot of holes that are 470 yards or something like that. Maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter. The fairway is not big at all. Like 25, 30 yards. You got some bunkers, you got some rough. Pins are tucked, greens are firm. If you're in the fairways, if you went around and hit 14 fairways, like, you could play really, really well. And then you still have to be smart with your irons, still get a putt well, but you can absolutely play it nicely, which means like shooting four under, like, you're not shooting eight under or anything. Just, it's not happening. But if you start to falter with anything, like if you miss the fairways, it becomes that much harder because there are a lot of trees. And so a lot of the times, like, you're just going to have to pitch out. If you hit an unintelligent shot into the green, like, you certainly miss a green long, or you short side yourself, like, now it becomes really hard. But that's why I enjoy it, is like, you short side yourself, there's not no chance at making par. Like, a few times, yeah, you're not hitting your bunker shot or whatever it is inside 15 feet. Like, you're not. But for the most part, you still have a chance. It's just not that easy. So it's a very easy course to go around. And yeah, you can certainly hit a few bad shots and make some doubles, but it's not like a double, triple golf course. It's just bogeys, and hopefully make some birdies and try to make a ton of pars. It's just good stuff. But anyway, I want to finish my point there that I was getting to, which is that, you know, you mentioned having a tournament where the weather is intentionally made to be bad. Like, you play at a time which obviously you can't just dial up bad weather. But so with the BMW last year, there were only four players under par. Four under par ended up winning. It ended up being a duel between DJ and Rahm, which obviously you can't just summon that, but it made it really neat. They made those putts on the last hole, which was awesome. But don't you find it, and I think the reason people love major championship golf, they find it so much more interesting because it's hard and it challenges the players. And usually that comes from, like it was at Olympia last year, firmness, a little bit longer rough, fast greens. You know, it's just the players don't know what to expect with the golf ball every single time they hit it. And, you know, in a roundabout sort of way, what I'm getting at is that's kind of what you're going to be seeing if you were playing a few more events with crazier conditions. And so I think that there's some merit to that, that like, it could be really neat to see those guys play under conditions that we're not used to seeing them play, because, and do not take this as the PGA Tour guys being less than incredible players. Like, they're, people don't understand how good these guys are. They
know
it's a joke. John Rahm, ridiculous. Like, John Rahm is 18 shots better than me. Not, maybe not actually, but he's just so good. But anyway, you know, we do see them play a lot under very good conditions, you know, and I think it would be humanizing a little bit and very interesting, if nothing else, to see them play in some funkier conditions, you know, like, shoot, let's play the Heritage in like middle of March. I know it's way harder than that. You can't just like do these things. It's fucking Mudball Monday. We're totally off the cuff. Like, we want to see that, you know, we want to see some challenge. We want to see some wind. We want to see a little cold. We want to see some rain. Shit.
I hear you, dude. Having professional golf be a little more humanizing is, that's something that we could really use. And shout out to Clates. We got Michael Clayton coming this week, and we had a long talk about rollback, and he shared a few things on what would make golf a little bit more relatable again. So hopefully you guys will tune into that this week. And I wish Clates could share his view on this right here, but going back to the weather portion of it, just like I talked about you know, having the, you know, the rain and the temperature and the wind kind of play their part individually. I think what we want to see from our professional golfers is we want to see the artistry between the skills that they work so hard on. So I guess the worst version of professional golf that we would ever want to see is what you and I call driving range golf, where the golf course essentially presents a series of challenges where pros can just go out and replicate things that they do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in order to practice, like hit a driving range 9-iron or hit a TrackMan wedge 92 yards with a predictable flat green surface and no wind from a tight, crisp lie, and then hit a 0-0 4-footer from there. And that is the worst version of competitive golf that you and I want to see. And what we don't want to see, which I think where people may misinterpret me here, is we don't want to see like 60 mile an hour winds and people getting their teeth bashed in. I think what we're trying to achieve here is we want our golf courses and the weather and the healthy combination between those two to bring out the artistry in the players that we watch, and watch them be forced to take on shots that push them a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but are still within their skill. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Just, I think the thought we're going to leave people with today, two thoughts. One, cold weather golf sucks. Two, we'd love to see professional golf be slightly more humanizing. I think we used a good term there, which is to say, a lot of people do not play the majority of their golf in the summer when the weather's beautiful and all the biggest golf tournaments are happening. Rather, they're playing it at times when it is a little bit colder and the conditions aren't so good. And someone might say, why am I out here in three layers having to like slap the ball around, play, again, Harry Potter golf, and I'm watching these guys on tour flex the shaft and hit 235-yard 5-irons. I'm not here to tell you that you're as good as tour players, because that is
false,
just BS. However, the line might be just a little bit closer than you think due to the difference. So let's see a little bit more of that.
Give yourself a break.
Mudball Monday.
It's all right. Mudball Monday. It's going to be a good week here at the Tie. Very excited. Things are going well.
Clate's coming on.
That's all we got.
The chef is coming. Get ready for it. All right. That's all we got. Mudball Monday.
Peace.